This is First Up. Every morning, come and hang on First Up. The only show that brings the bang. It's First Up.
You're listening to First Up on TSN 1050.
This is First Up.
You ain't first, you're last.
Hour 3 of First Up has finally arrived here on TSN 1050, streaming worldwide, tsn1050.ca. And make sure to download the iHeart Radio Canada app. It's Aaron Korolnik and Carlo Koliakova with you. A busy hour ahead as we have Ed Werder, our NFL analyst, joining us in about 15 minutes' time. A huge day for football fans, whether you're here in Canada or south of the border. I mean, it's a full-blown holiday extravaganza if you live in the United States of America today. And we're fortunate that Ed is going to grace us with his presence today because, you know, he should be probably in a turkey coma right now. And my understanding is that the Wednesday night leading up to Thanksgiving in America is a big evening. So Ed, a dedicated member of our team, he'll join us. And again, in about 15 minutes' time, James Duthie, another of our beloved guests, joins us at 8:50 as well. So we are jam-packed, Coco, and I think we're going to try to limit the amount of Bears-Lions talk, the game that kicks off Thanksgiving Thursday, a truly dreadful matchup featuring two terrible teams. The Lions 0-9-1 this year. Remember, they tied the Pittsburgh Steelers earlier. Mm-hmm. And the Chicago Bears, a team that the big question is not if, but when their coach will be fired. So, yeah, you know, not the most tantalizing of matchups, but Dallas and Vegas and Bills Saints. I'm pumped, man.
No, and you should be. You know, I wish the games had a little bit more of a title to them when you talk about, you know, teams that are playing. Obviously, Dallas playing every year is significant. You know, Detroit and Chicago doesn't really have that you know, that big name sort of sexy feel to it. But I'm pumped that the Bills are playing on the night game. But, you know, you would hope it would have been against a full lineup in New Orleans because, you know, you want to see best on best. Obviously, Kamara's not playing. You know, they got Trevor Siemian starting at quarterback. They've got other injuries on defense. And that's a huge advantage for the Bills. So I'm not going to, you know, sit here and not pretend that I'm not happy about that, because the Bills need a response game. They absolutely need a response game. And maybe sometimes this is how it happens in a short week where you don't spend much time thinking about, you know, some of the things that you were upset about or some of the things that you're embarrassed about from last week's performance. So we'll see how it goes. But man, you know, we talk about kicking off the day. It's me and you from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. You can go and take a little bit of a break before 12 o'clock comes around and get a nice lunch in. If I was in the U.S., I'd definitely be doing something to celebrate Thanksgiving. But you got to know, even our boy Ed, apparently our boy Ed's going to be at the Dallas game, and he'll be just diving into all the turkey that is being served there at, what's the name of that stadium again? Drawing a blank in Dallas.
Is it AT&T Stadium?
Is it AT&T Stadium? Yes,
yeah, I think
it is.
So.
Yes. Yes, Jerry's Place, or Jerry's World.
It's Jerry World. That's the real name. But I'm in a, of course, text thread with my degenerate gambling friends. We're trying to figure out our plans. And it has been determined that the food of choice for the evening game.
Oh, hold on. Let me guess. Swish LA.
You know it. The Dirty Bird will be quacking away here in my condo.
Bang!
Boys are coming.
What's
by
your go-to order at Swish LA?
Okay, so this is a difficult one because, like, I like the double leg occasionally.
Okay.
You know, you get the double dark meat, but I also kind of prefer the one breast accompanied by the leg. I guess that'd be a half chicken.
Okay.
And that's my go-to. Well, the quarter chicken is just one breast and the fries.
You're right. It's a half chicken.
The half chick is the breast and the leg. So you get the best of both worlds, the fries, and I may even mix in a soup as well. It's a special day.
Oh, chicken!
I just
got
to try to stay awake because you know, the chicken and the chips and the beers and everything will just put me to sleep. But
okay, I'm going to give you some veteran advice right now. How many are you in the group?
We got six.
Okay, so buy three or four whole chickens.
This is a veteran move. You're reading.
I'm
my
telling
mind
you right now. You have an air fryer, right?
I do.
So when the whole chickens come to your house, you slice it all up, take all the bones out, throw it in the air fryer, for 5-6 minutes, the juices that will come out of that chicken. I'm telling you right now, man, it is like such a veteran move. Like now my thing is like when I order Swiss Chalet or even when I go to the grocery store here at Longo's and I get one of those roasted chickens, slice it up, take the bones out of the inside, put in the air fryer 5-6 minutes because it gives the skin a little bit of an extra crisp, but the juices that flow out of there, man, I'm telling you, you will not be
this is a great conversation. No, I mean, you might be onto something. I don't know. That just seems like a little bit tedious for me. I'll probably be 5 beers deep, and I'll have no interest in air frying anything. So it's unlikely. It's a great idea, and it will probably make the experience better, but that's just not my style. We're going to have the arrival, and it'll be a celebration when it arrives, and it's just going to be
well, hey, it's Thanksgiving.
Afterwards.
You got to do sides, too. You got to do baked potato, mashed potato, whatever
fries.
It is. Pierogies. Have you had the Swiss Chalet pierogies?
They are quality. This, oh, is, another, this is an advertisement buddy. For Swiss Chalet once again. I feel like it happens far too often. How are you not our title sponsor, Swiss Chalet? I don't know how that's a thing. But, yeah, it's going to be a great day, and it's one of these all-day affairs, right? I mean, Sundays, generally speaking,
pretty
are the
much.
Same, but this is a different one because we have to work tomorrow. So I've got to keep it in line just a little bit. But I'm really pumped, and I'm not pumped for Lions-Bears. I do think that DeAndre Swift and David Montgomery will have big performances. The running backs for the Bears and the Lions, respectively. I'm on the Swift over rush yards and the anytime TD, Coco. That is our play of the day. When it comes to the Thanksgiving game performances, Swift. You know we love Taylor Swift. Now DeAndre, part of our squad as well.
You know what? You should get a jersey, pick a team because you don't have a fan. Maybe an Argos jersey.
Okay.
And just put Swift on the back. Because after he makes you money today, it'll be able to make you at least appreciate the name Swift because you're in love with Taylor Swift.
Okay, it's a little flawed logic there. But I suppose Argos, if I was getting Argos jersey, I would get McLeod Bethel-Thompson, maybe Curly Gittens Jr., Enoch Mwamba. Big playoff game next Saturday.
Yes.
I'm pumped for that. And we'll see who the Argos play as they await the winner of Montreal and Hamilton on Saturday. So I'm hoping Montreal wins and we don't have to deal with the Ticats and their fans coming to Toronto. It's my hope there. But, and then we'll start to have to look at the Raiders and the Dallas Cowboys as well. Dallas, some question marks as far as injuries go. We know Amari Cooper will be out, but CeeDee Lamb, their other star wide receiver, looks likely to return from a concussion today, and that's big news for Dak Prescott and the Cowboys offense because if you're missing both Cooper and Lamb and you're rolling with Cedric Wilson and Michael Gallup and Noah Brown,
it
gets a little difficult for the Dallas pass catchers, but it looks like CeeDee will be in.
And there seems to be some tension in Cowboys world because of the situation around Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper's not playing right now because he's in COVID protocol. And apparently Jerry Jones has voiced his criticism around Amari Cooper and his decision because if Cooper was vaccinated, he'd be able to return a lot quicker than you know, what his schedule return date is. And that is not sitting well with Jerry Jones right now.
I think Cooper is immunized, not vaccinated.
Immunized.
That's my understanding.
Yep.
He went. He underwent homeopathic treatment before the season, which
COVID
simulated.
He's got COVID toe.
He might have COVID toe. I don't know. Oh, man. What a disaster. The Aaron Rodgers stuff still perplexes me, to say the least. We also have Josh Lewenberg joining us in about an hour. Pumped to speak to J-Lew about a real impressive second half from the Raps, who gave up seemingly every bucket they could in the first half, allowing 71 to the Memphis Grizzlies in half number one. And they were just, John Morant was crowning Chris Boucher and everybody on Memphis. It was just a layup fest and there was no resistance from Toronto. And then halftime comes around, the Raps stuck 12 at the half. And they come out and lay a beating on Memphis in the second half. I mean, Precious Achiuwa scored 17 points in a quarter, in the third quarter. Precious, my precious, 17 points. An unbelievable performance from him in the third quarter. All 17 of his points were in one quarter. Very rare to see that. And Gary Trent Jr. put on
that
a Steph Curry-esque Steph Curry's shooting display in the fourth quarter. He scored 17 of his own. The Raptors put up 126 on the Grizz and beat him outright. So a very impressive second half from the Raps. It's great to see because the team's been kind of languishing and playing such poor defense. I don't think last night, I mean, second half notwithstanding, was their best defensive performance of the season against a really talented Memphis team. And they got a lot of good players, a lot of guys who can fill it up. But good to see the Raps get back on a winning note because it was the fifth game of six on the road on a West Coast trip. They finish it with Indiana on Friday night. Tomorrow night, man, tomorrow was an unbelievable sports day. Bryson and Brooks, Pacers and Raptors, Leafs and Sharks. That's an all-day affair. We are blessed with back-to-back unreal days, and we might need some relaxation on Saturday because it's going to be tough to process.
Are we claiming this sports binge weekend?
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, there's really not that much
going on. You'll find something to do. You'll find something to do. For sure. It might be a little bit of a reset. There's CFL playoffs.
Well, that's on Sunday.
Well, CFL playoffs isn't starting on Saturday?
It's Sunday at 1-4 is the CFL playoff game.
Why would they go head to head? Yeah, it's got to be Saturday. There's no way they're going to go head to head against the NFL.
One second. No, it's on Sunday. It's on Sunday, which I found weird, too. I don't really understand.
That is a horrible decision by the CFL. Come on, are you serious?
I was under the impression that they always played their playoff games on Saturday, but maybe I was mistaken. I don't really get it either, to be honest. That's going to be tough to flip around because, you know, we love the NFL, and it's the nitty-gritty for my fantasy team right now. I am starting so many scrubs and just praying for miraculous performances that I'm going to have to be dialed into that, but I mean, yeah, Montreal Hamilton at 1 and Calgary and Saskatchewan at 4:30. I believe James Duthie will be in Regina for game on Sunday. So we'll have to get what the scene will be for JD when he's flying out. And apparently the weather is going to be decent in Saskatchewan. Anything above zero this time of year is a blessing. And I think it's a high of 8 on game day. So
golf.
Lucky for JD. Maybe he'll tee it up. Yeah, we'll find out.
So today's, you know, Thanksgiving Thursday, tomorrow's going to be Black Friday. You talk about the weekend you're about to endure. I think it's pretty obvious. It's laid out for you right now. Black Friday, you got to go buy a TV. You need to set up a second
TV in
your house.
It's not going to happen this week, but yeah, it the wheels are in motion. Let's just say
that. You have to have it. I mean, you just talked about all the things that you want to get into. The two TVs is where it's at.
Yeah, the two TVs. The dueling 65s will be quite the scene over here at the Korolnik household.
Your neighbors are going to be pretty happy with you.
Yeah, I don't think they ever are. A text from a listener, 10-50-50. Hey, AK and Carla, would you start Darnell Mooney or Michael Gallup in fantasy this week? What's your advice, Coco?
You got to go Gallup, no? Especially with Amari Cooper.
I disagree. I like Mooney. Personally, it's 16 targets last week. It's Chrissy, you know what? Chrissy,
Andy
as always,
Dalton.
20 fingers, our voice of reason. What is your advice?
I think I'd go Mooney as well.
He would go Mooney. All right, we always listen to Chris.
You guys have a conspiracy against me because you guys are going against everything I say in our group chat, in our Zoom chat, in our online chat. Like, you guys, what's with you guys? You guys are just coming at me.
Chrissy and I have a symbiotic relationship. We connect on a different level, Carlo. You and Cheese, our intern. You guys are the guys who are connecting on a different level.
And,
Me and Cheese. I don't know if Cheese is listening. We're watching him in the Zoom chat. Let's see
and
what he's doing.
I'll even take a rod. There he is. I'll even take a rod, too. Us three against you two.
In what?
I don't know. And eat off?
You guys would have us there. I think that's safe to say. Although today, I'm going to do my best to live up to the billing on Thanksgiving Thursday. Big day in my household. And, yes, I'm looking over just the one TV. Not sufficient on a day like today. I think I'm letting myself down and my crew down. So we're going to have to do something about that in the coming days and weeks. Ed Werder will join us in about 5 minutes' time, live from Dallas, Texas, ahead of a huge game for the Cowboys, a team that's been scuffling a little bit after getting off to such a strong start. I think there's a lot of similarities between the Cowboys and the Bills, teams with great expectations, but as of late, have not been living up to them. That's coming up with Ed Werder, James Duthie, in about 25 minutes as well, here on First Stop.
I feel them. Y'all ready? They ready. Well, come on. Come on. Ready. Y'all ready? They ready.
Big slate of food. football. We're ready for our boy, Edward Earl.
Wow, really elongated word. Yeah, it's very exciting, man. There's three football games on Thursday. Usually we just get one, the Thursday night football game, which is commonplace in the NFL schedule. We have an unbelievable game. Well, I mean, I think it'll be good. Watching Trevor Siemian play football is not ideal, but he is indeed a quarterback of the New Orleans Saints. And your boy Taysom Hill, Coco, what's going on with that? You would think, considering the circumstances, that you would get Taysom Hill some more action, but it's been the Siemian show for New Orleans.
Well, I don't think he's been healthy, to be, you know, to be honest with you. And now that he is healthy, I wonder how they utilize him. It's tough to think that they'll take Siemian out because he's been okay playing that position, but I would expect that you're going to see Taysom Hill mixed in somewhere in this offense today.
All right, well, let's welcome him in. It's our man Ed Werder from ESPN live from Dallas. Happy Thanksgiving, my friend. How are you?
I am well, and happy Thanksgiving to you too as well.
Thanks
and
very
all
much.
Who serve you.
Yes. Indeed, indeed. Well, Ed, why don't we start with the Cowboys, who host the Raiders today. Dallas is a 7.5-point favorite, a game you will be in attendance for, you will be covering for ESPN. There are some injury questions with the Cowboys that have yet to be completely resolved. We don't know definitively if CeeDee Lamb will be in. Ezekiel Elliott's a little bit banged up. What can you tell us about the Cowboys and their injury status heading into this big game today?
Well, Elliott's reached a point of diminishing returns as far as the run game. He has been held under 70 yards for five consecutive games. That's the longest such streak of his career. But when we talked to him this week, he said he's relatively healthy, that he does have, he is managing a little bit of a knee problem that he says really only results in pain when he gets twisted or tackled a certain way, lands on it. And then it's, you know, just a brief thing and he's able to get past it. But he seemed to suggest that they need to start running the football more and that that process needs to begin this week against the Raiders, which is consistent with Dak Prescott criticizing the entire team yesterday for its lack of physicality against the Chiefs, not responding to being punched in the mouth, as he said, and that they needed to come out and reassert themselves in that way. You're right about CeeDee Lamb. I don't think we know yet definitively whether he's cleared the NFL's five-step concussion protocol. I think it would be fairly remarkable if, as Mike McCarthy has said, he thinks that is going to happen. I mean, you have a guy who suffered a concussion and missed the second half of the game on Sunday, and then 4 days later, despite the NFL's, you know, emphasis on player health and safety and this protocol that he has to go through, that all of a sudden you're okay to play pro football 4 days later after suffering a concussion. But I guess it's possible. I know Dak said he and that CeeDee Lamb went through practice well yesterday, said he looked great, said they spent some extra time the day before, you know, running some double moves and making sure he could turn his head and everything without an issue, and that all of that looks fine. So I guess we'll, it depends on the independent neurologist today and his evaluation of CeeDee as to whether he plays. And I can't imagine it doesn't have his status. And their urgency about getting him back on the field doesn't have something to do with not having Amari Cooper again in this game because of the COVID, positive COVID test he had last week.
Well, Ed, apparently Jerry Jones is voicing his frustration around Cooper, too, not just with his lack of performance, but him not being vaccinated, because him not being vaccinated right now has led to him not being available to play. So where does that stand? Is there a rift going on right here within the Dallas Cowboys?
Well, you know, Dak pretty fiercely defended Amari Cooper after the game in Kansas City when he was asked about it. Said he wasn't going to criticize anybody for making their own, you know, personal health choice. And he tried to make the point that even though he's vaccinated, he could theoretically, you know, test positive and miss a couple games as well. But that ignores, obviously, that it's a whole different thing for the way the NFL addresses a vaccinated player versus an unvaccinated player. And the point Jerry Jones was making, and remember, Jerry Jones is paying Amari Cooper $20 million this year and writing him game checks, even if he's not playing. And so he realized the disastrous effects that this all had and made the point that, well, if Amari Cooper had been vaccinated, he wouldn't have been getting tested every day. And in all likelihood, his COVID positive status would not have been revealed, at least not then, 2 days before they played the Chiefs. So yeah, it was interesting to hear Jerry express some agitation about that. And it's also interesting when you look at it that, you know, the Cowboys kind of reassured everybody in training camp that, you know, almost over 90% of their players were vaccinated. There were maybe a handful of guys who weren't vaccinated, and that most of those guys had begun the process of getting the vaccination. And now here we find out the reason that, you know, one of the reasons Dak said at training camp that he wouldn't criticize players, teammates who chose not to get the vaccine is because, well, some pretty prominent teammates didn't get the vaccine. And, yeah, definitely hurt the Cowboys the other day not to have Amari Cooper out there, and I assume, you know, the same today. And you know what makes me the maddest? I take personal issue with this because I had the foresight last week to know I was covering this game and that we had access to Amari Cooper, and they were playing the Raiders for the first time since the Raiders traded him, and I asked Amari a whole bunch of questions about playing the Raiders for the first time, and then 2 days later he gets popped and he's not going to play. Jeez. So all that wasted material. Really irritating. I'm madder than Jerry is about it.
Yeah, you should be.
Content is king in this business, Ed. We know it well. Ed Werder from ESPN is our guest. Let's shift to the Thursday nighter between the Bills and the Saints. Of course, you know that's very close to the heart of one Carlo Colaiacovo. Things seem to be going perfectly for Buffalo over the course of the week. Alvin Kamara is out for the Saints, their star running back, one of the best backs in the league. Mark Ingram, who is second fiddle to Kamara, he's banged up. We're uncertain if he's going to play at all, so could be the third string back for New Orleans behind Trevor Siemian and Taysom Hill. I mean, how confident should the Bills and certain Bills fans be, Ed, about their chances tonight in New Orleans?
Well, after what Jonathan Taylor, the Colts running back, did to him last week in Buffalo, I assume they'd be delighted to play the third string running back as opposed to the two guys you talked about. Yeah, Buffalo had a really bad game, and it's not their first bad game. But I guess to put it in some sort of context, you know, Buffalo's defense has been really strong and many times overpowering. I mean, they gave up 41 points to the Colts last week, and they still have allowed the fewest points in the NFL. So they had some margin to play with there, but now they're not even in first place in the division. Remarkably, the New England Patriots are in first place with their rookie quarterback. But I still think Buffalo's a really good team on defense. They haven't allowed a 300-yard passer or a 100-yard receiver. It's hard to imagine they're not going to be able to, you know, shut down the Saints, given the offensive limitations that they're under now, as you described. I mean, keep in mind, Drew Brees retired. Jameis Winston suffered an ACL injury. Michael Thomas isn't playing. So this is a team that really doesn't have a whole lot of playmakers to threaten a good defense like Buffalo with. So as long as Josh Allen and the offense doesn't put the defense in bad situations with turnovers, then I would think Buffalo would be able to manage the situation pretty well tonight.
Yeah, they better. I mean, would you classify this as a must-win game right now for the Bills, considering how good the Patriots are playing, what their next four games look like? You know, where they are in the season.
Right, they still have to play. They have two games against the Patriots coming up. Don't they also? I think they also play Tampa Bay at some point. Yeah. So, yeah,
the Carolina team that's inspired right now under Cam Newton.
It's really interesting. Some of these games, if you look at the numbers and in terms of how a team's chances of making the playoffs are affected, whether they win this particular game or they don't win this, it can be pretty dramatic in a situation like we're talking about with Buffalo. You know, they're going to make the playoffs. I don't think we're that concerned about that. But it's, you know, it's all about the seeding, and having home field advantage is certainly important to a team like Buffalo, given the weather that they can subject their opponents to up there. So it's an important game for them. I'm not going to say if they lose this, they're not going to make the playoffs. They're not going to win the division, but I think they need to win the game.
Ed, I believe you're going to be at AT&T Stadium in Jerry's World today for the game. You're probably going to be doing Thanksgiving Day feast. Do they have like a setup in the media room for like a turkey dinner, a turkey serving? What's that all about?
Yeah, we've had to move our personal family Thanksgiving dinner around over the years. That I've been here for nearly 30 years now, and the Cowboys obviously always play a home game on Thanksgiving, and they've almost always been good enough that I've had to cover it. There have been a few occasions where that didn't happen. So we went from, let's have dinner Thursday evening to let's have it at noon and then I'll go cover the game to, I got live shots starting at 8:00. There's no time during the day to have a family dinner. Let's just have it on Wednesday to now we just go somewhere on Wednesday night. So,
nice.
But yeah, Jerry does, the Jones family is very generous and, They do treat us well in the press box, really every week, but they'll have a nice Thanksgiving, a traditional Thanksgiving meal for the media, both upstairs in the press box and downstairs for the photographers. And then we'll obviously be treated to the Salvation Army launch and the Luke Combs nice. Show at halftime, which nice. Is kind of always fun to see a high-level entertainer.
Like... Nice. Nice halftime show. So it sounds like you're going to be very busy and occupied. So how can you sell us and sell our audience to watch the early game between the Lions and the Bears? I mean, the battle between Dalton and Goff.
the Bears and the Lions have the two longest active winless streaks in the entire league. And they're going head to head. So this is a historic matchup of infutility, and you want to take every opportunity to see those games when they arise. I mean, and how about this? The Lions are winless on Thanksgiving for the third time in franchise history.
Oh,
the 13th, listen to this. This is getting better. We're building up to something here.
Love
They'll
it.
Be the 13th team in NFL history to enter the Thanksgiving Day game with a winless record. And while the Lions have never won their first game on Thanksgiving, six other teams have. So there's still incentive. And if that's not enough of a sell job, you can watch Jared Goff, quarterback, assuming he's healthy enough. He's 0-15-1 in his career without Sean McVay. And Sean McVay, he didn't work on Thanksgiving Day in Detroit.
Wow.
Wow. Love that.
That is
Chrissy, go ahead. Go ahead and hit it, Chris.
I just gave you 4 hours. 4 hours.
All right, we got some breaking news. This is not definitive, but it's relevant to people who are degenerate gamblers and fantasy players like myself and Carlo Ed. According to a report from Ian Rappaport, an uphill climb for Mark Ingram to play tonight against the Bills, meaning my boy Tony Jones is likely to be the starting running back for the New Orleans Saints. So Kamara out. I'm going to call Ingram doubtful. Limited at best, Tony Jones, you can find him at plus 400 to score an anytime touchdown. So if that is indeed the case, some significant value there. And, yeah, this is the type of operation we have going over, over here, Ed.
I actually thought you were going to trump Ed there and do breaking news about Cowboys news.
Oh, no, I could never do that. I would if I ever had a shred of Cowboys news, I would fill in Ed. The Matt Nagy situation in Chicago, not ideal for him, Ed. I mean, the head coach of the Bears and seemingly every single resident of Illinois wants him to vacate the position immediately. And, of course, the reports earlier this week that he would be fired after this game. What do you make of those, and what are you hearing about his job status at the current moment?
Yeah, I think we all expect that at some point Matt Nagy is going to be fired as a head coach of the Chicago Bears. And, you know, he came in 2018, highly regarded guy, offensive coordinator in Kansas City under Andy Reid, and went 12-4 and was a coach of the year in Chicago in 2018. But since then, they drafted Mitch Trubisky. Now they've drafted Justin Fields. So they've drafted two quarterbacks in the first round, and Nagy's offense has done nothing but struggle. They've averaged 18 points a game. Since 2018, only the Jets, the Jaguars, and the Giants have averaged fewer offensive points per game during that span than all of those teams have made head coaching changes during that time. So it's inevitable that Nagy's going to get fired, and I think we all knew that when it didn't happen last year, when the McCaskey family, which owns the Bears, decided to give Matt Nagy and the general manager Ryan Pace another year, I think we all knew that it had to be a really strong year for the Bears, or there had to be a lot of promise shown by Justin Fields in terms of he fit in Matt Nagy's offense well. He was being, well prepared and managed. His career was off to a good start. And I don't think any of those things have happened. So I think we'd all be shocked if sometime in the next month the Bears don't make a head coaching change.
Ed Werder is our guest from ESPN. Ed, you've been covering the NFL for a very long time. Have you ever seen a player put their feet up on a podium and show reporters their toes before? Because that's what happened yesterday with the Green Bay Packers.
No, but I assure you that I could trump Aaron Rodgers' toes with what I could put up. I'm just thankful.
You're saying you have really nice feet?
No, I'm saying I have really bad feet.
Oh. Okay, just wanted to clarify.
And you know, when you list the things today that we're thankful for, I think we should be thankful that it's television and not smell-o-vision, so we don't have to see Aaron Rodgers' feet or smell them on top of that. So, yeah, it was very nice of Aaron to do such a demonstration. We know he's not, you know, that fond of the media in general, and especially now that some things didn't go his way, and he was outed for, you know, COVID test, and he was not inoculated. What was he?
Immunized,
but not vaccinated, and obviously one of the accusations made against him was he did all these press conferences with no masks, so now he's not doing any live press conferences anymore, even after games. He's just doing it on... I knew there would be some punishment for the media and all this with him, but... yeah, believe me, my feet are so far worse than his that I actually thought his looked good. I thought he looked like he had just been back from a pedicure.
Ed, you got to think that he's making a mockery of this whole situation, is he not?
His foot?
No, the whole Zoom thing.
Oh, the whole COVID thing?
Yeah.
I don't know. You don't think he sounded sincere when he sort of apologized or at least explained himself in more elaborate detail when he finally was active to play again and explained his behavior and admitted that he was misleading with his answers and all that stuff? Or you think he was just doing it to protect his money and his sponsors?
Who knows? Crazy. Who knows with that guy? But I can tell you one thing. Damn good quarterback, and he's got
a tough
matchup.
I just realized, you know, this little program we got going here doesn't work nearly as well when I start asking the questions.
Yeah, no surprise there. You're a reporter. You're our analyst. You bring the heat with the answers. We'll just ask the questions, and we set you up to look good. And that is something you do for us every single Thursday morning. Happy Thanksgiving, my friend. All the best to you and your family, and enjoy the big game today.
And especially,
hey, thanks very much.
Especially Henry and Delilah.
And make sure you don't miss that Detroit-Chicago game after we just talked about it the way we did.
I can't
Go
wait.
Lions.
I might watch
Go
it
Lions.
Twice. Thanks, Ed.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
That's Ed Werder, our analyst from ESPN. Got a text from Duffy. He's not happy. We're very late for his appearance. So James Duffy.
What time did we say it again?
We said 8:50. It is currently 8:49. So, you know, we have to take a quick commercial break. We'll be back with the legend. James, I'm going to try to butter up. One of the great broadcasters of our generation, James Duffy from TSN and the Rubber Boots Podcast. Next. Rolling on here on First Up, Aaron Karolnik and Carlo Koliakovo with you. And let's not delay another second. We are about 3 minutes late for our scheduled interview with our next guest.
You can wait.
One of the preeminent broadcasters and preeminent men in our business. It is TSN's James Duffy. Hi, James.
How you doing, boys? I'm just making a smoothie. If you could hold on the line, I'll be back in about four or five minutes, okay?
Well, it's only 3 minutes. I mean, we could probably fill for a couple minutes.
I just gave him a hard time. It really wasn't that bad.
What's your dog's name again, the gray one?
That's Hugo.
Hugo. Put Hugo on the line. We'll have a conversation with him.
Bark away.
We'll throw the ball. Throw it.
You don't even know the half of what goes on in my world right now.
I can only imagine. Last week when we spoke, you mentioned how this week you're heading to Regina, Saskatchewan for the Western semifinal between the Saskatchewan Rough Riders and the Calgary Stampeders. So what's on the itinerary? When do you depart, and do you have any big plans in the city of Regina, the city that rhymes with fun?
I'm going out Saturday morning. I think I'll be with the coach, Jim Barker, there. People forget or aren't CFL fans, the non-CFL fans who listen to your program might sort of jump in on CFL for the playoffs every year, which is a big kick to me. I love CFL. And I got quite an array of exotic tropical locations the next month. Regina for the semis, then in Winnipeg next week for the Western Final, then Hamilton for the Grey Cup, then back for a little bit and off to Edmonton for the World Juniors. So let's just say I'm packing the copper tune. You know what I'm saying?
The exact opposite.
I thought of you. This is the first time this season, I think, on Sunday morning where I will get to make a pick on air.
Wow.
Of the game from my first CFL broadcast of the year. And so I may have to lean on the expert himself, the guru.
Interesting.
The guru of the odds.
Just say,
Sarge. Just call him Sarge.
It's a good pick. Like it's a great matchup, and I don't. You don't want to probably do an extended CFL. I think it's, you know, first of all, Saskatchewan. Any game in Saskatchewan is the best place in Canada to watch a game, and Bo has sort of had their number mostly over the years. But Fajardo's been pretty good, so and they've been three games this year, all within 6 points. So it's going to be fun.
That is stellar analysis. James Dussey from TSN.
That was on the surface. I'm expecting all the deep stuff from you. I didn't want to get too deep.
Okay, one tip. I've learned this from doing extensive radio interviews in Saskatchewan. That's how you guys. That's how the locals say it. Saskatchewan.
Saskatchewan? So not Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan.
Yeah. It's like Toronto. Saskatchewan. That's my advice. Okay, so that's on Sunday, and we should probably talk. I don't know if you have a direct line to CFL Commissioner Randy Ambrosi, but the game on Sunday, 1 and 4 o'clock. I mean, I don't know. Is that commonplace, or it's a direct competition with the NFL? Is that how it is every year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, and you can argue whether that's right or not. I mean, this is an eternal problem with the Canadian Football League. Is you have its biggest weekends against critical NFL weekends, but it hasn't mattered. Like, the CFL has a really good following and does incredibly well for these games, right? We'll get sorry, Hugo just sorry, I'm in my office and my wife ordered I don't think he'll listen to this program, so like a pair of slippers for her mom's boyfriend. And Hugo just came in and just picked up the box, which is like a giant box, and just walked out of the room with them. Sorry.
He's looking at this.
Oh, he's got a new chew toy.
new sandals for. He scooped it up by the ribbon and just walked out of the room. So I was a little bit distracted there. Anyway, no, it's always been that way, AK. And what are you going to do about it? I mean, I guess you could put one of the games on in prime time, the Western game, but you have Sunday night football to deal with as well. So. Yeah, I don't think you'll ever get away from that, and the CFL does fine for the playoffs against the NFL games. It sucks for guys like you and me who love them both, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I can put my NFL on hold for these couple of weeks and watch some great CFL games.
Likewise. That's on Sunday, but tomorrow, JD, it's Bryson and Brooksy.
Mm-hmm.
Brooks Koepka in the latest installment of the match. Now, you're someone who's had a lot of success in crucial golf showdowns. What advice would you give to DeChambeau and Koepka?
So this is what was the one last one that DeChambeau was in? Was that DeChambeau and Phil, right? With Brady and Aaron Rodgers? Was that
Aaron
the last
Rodgers.
Match?
Aaron Rodgers, yeah, it was Aaron Rodgers, yeah.
Where they must have been playing like 4 miles up in the sky because the drives were all going like 400 yards or something. You know, I think this would have been a lot more hyped had it have been 6 months ago. And I think the Ryder Cup and a couple of other things just kind of put a little bit of it muted this rivalry a little bit. I think that we all kind of realize it was. Like, I think there was real legitimate, if not hatred, legitimate dislike between these players. And maybe there still is a little bit of it, but, you know, all the hugs and stuff at Ryder Cup, I think that TNT, whoever produces these things, wishes it had happened a few months ago. So I'm not nearly as excited for it as I would. I'll just say, as you know, you're right, AK. Experience is critical in these things. And so maybe that's where Bryson has the advantage, because I don't think Koepka's been in one of these, because I failed miserably in my first experience. But use that failure to not only succeed, but thrive in my second.
Nice. Well, hey, what are you going to do for your third? Are me and AK going to get an invite? Well,
my boy Puffy, he suggested strongly to me that I retire, because I could easily go like 1-7 in these things. If we do a televised one, like, I'm due to probably lose the next few after winning, because when I won this summer, and I know you listeners don't care, it was kind of a miracle that we won. So I think
you're
going to
be fully healthy
retire.
Now. You got the surgery. You're all fixed
up. You're compromised.
I mean, you should have an excuse not to win another one.
Well, how long can I use the hernia surgery? Can I milk that for like into next summer?
I saw that scar, right. JD. I think you're good for at least 6 months. That would be my guess.
Did you know? Here, I had a question for you guys, because here's what I did for the Leafs last night, and we've talked to you before about morning radio. Did you guys stay up till the end of that hockey game?
I fell asleep midway through the third.
Second intermission.
I mean, it was
second intermission. I shut
second,
down.
Right? Yeah, it was over after the second, because I watched the first, and then I PVR'd and watched the, well, I was intending on watching the second and the third before I came on with you guys this morning, but after the second, I pretty much said, okay, I don't think anything's going to happen in the third that I need to worry about, but that was an impressive hockey performance.
It sure was. I mean, you talk about, you know, a team that has been looking good in every type of response and any type of adversity that has been thrown at them so far. You got to feel pretty good about where the Maple Leafs are at.
Well, it's just, you know, they went through that stage where only the big four were scoring, and they were still winning, so it didn't really matter, but you worried where would secondary stuff came from, and that's come in the last 2 weeks in spades. And when you see Wayne Simmonds have the kind of game he had last night, and I think, to me, the most, probably the two guys that stood out the most were Simmonds and Rasmus Sandin. I think, I don't know if he got a star, but he, to me, he was the best player on the ice in many senses. And the Engvall goal, he did so many good things on that one play, making a good defensive play one end, leading the rush. And if you know, Simmonds did that little toe drag, but if you watch Sandin, basically, after he gives up the pass, takes the two defensemen and forces them too deep, and that's why Simmonds is able to do that toe drag, because the guy's kind of on his back feet. And so I just think this guy's emergence is, if he continues, is going to be one of the individual stories of the season for the Leafs. So that was just impressive in a lot of ways.
Yeah, it sure was, and there's lots to like about this Maple Leafs team, especially where they're at, the way they're playing, and the way they've started this road trip, 2-0 right now. They got two
Hugo's
more left.
In, he's in. He's destroyed half the box. He hasn't gotten the slippers out yet, but he has. He has destroyed.
Okay,
you know how they do free wrapping at the malls? Do they do re-wrapping?
Yeah.
Re-wrapping available.
That's
like, if
hilarious.
You walk back into the mall with your receipt, you say, "I know you did the free wrapping for me, but can you re-wrap this?"
Re-wrap it. Yeah, my dog got
completely
it.
Destroyed.
Well, I want to ask you. I mean, it's Thanksgiving Day today. You know, people celebrate it, whether you're American or Canadian, whatever you decide to choose. But obviously the slate of football is what will keep people excited. But tomorrow is Black Friday. And, James, I'm looking for some new technology for my kids, maybe my wife. Can you help subscribe anything to me? Because you're a superstar right now with all these devices that you're promoting.
Well, yeah, of course, Carlo, you have to go to the source. I mean, look at my incredibly well-dressed family, the way we sit around the house.
I love the fake smile by you, too.
In makeup and hair gel and fancy turtlenecks. You imagine, like, I try to convince the source we should do, if you really wanted to do a realistic commercial, come over to my house, I'd be in, the entire family would be in sweatpants and hoodies or pajamas. White socks that are like, the white socks right now are actually over the sweatpants, like not on purpose. I just, you know, got up this morning a little tired before I called you. So like, they're the white socks over the sweatpants,
oh, yeah.
Up halfway up to the knees. Yeah, it's a look, but the source wasn't. They wanted fancy Holt Renfrew turtlenecks on me that day.
They are gonna love.
You can find whatever you need there, Carlo, at the source. Rachel will help you out.
Is the source a company owned by Bell Media or Bell as a whole? I think so, right?
No, I think is it? I don't know that.
We're getting there. 20 Fingers is giving us one of his 20 fingers up. So
long-time partners. I believe. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
We own part of the source?
Apparently it is. So shout out to the source. Let's build our shareholder value, JD. Let's go to the source.
Wow.
James Duthie from TSN and the Rubber Boots podcast is our guest. And earlier in the show, we had Mike Johnson on, Mystic Mike from TSN, one of our hockey analysts, and he told a story about
how... He doesn't know a lot. He's one of the more fraudulent guys out there.
I'm a huge Mike Johnson fan. But I am even more of a Mike Johnson fan after finding out a story that he told us in response to Mr. Koliakovo returning fan mail from when he was a St. Louis Blue this week. That's 10 years ago. 10 years ago, he's finally opening up the fan mail and sending it back. But Mike Johnson told us how he and his mom, like when he was an active player, and even to this day, still like return the fan mail. Like it goes up to her house. She writes a personalized letter to each fan who wrote him and ask for his autograph on a card or whatever. So I need to ask, when you get your fan mail at TSN, how promptly do you return it?
Well, First of all, it amazes me the dedication of fans, because guys like Carlo and Mike like still get them. There's little envelopes in there for Dave Poulin, or Mike Johnson, or Carlo, or Jeff O'Neill.
O-Dog?
Every O-Dog time
never
I walk into the studio, because they deliver the mail, the fan mail into the studio, basically. And there's almost every show we come in, there's an envelope or two, handwritten, which I love. I will get one a decade.
What do they ask you to sign, James? Do you have any hot cards?
I love the little handwritten letters, though, because I did this when I was a kid.
AK did it, too.
But I never did hockey players. I don't think I ever wrote a hockey player. I wrote NFL players. I wrote Earl Campbell. I wrote, and I got, so, you know, I was 10 years old or something like that, and I found the Houston Oilers address somewhere. There was no internet. I don't even know how the hell I found it, and wrote a little handwritten note from little Jimmy saying how much I loved Earl Campbell, and sure enough, a couple weeks later, an autographed Earl Campbell photo arrives in the mail, and this blew my mind, right? That somehow, now whether Earl, I guess Earl probably really signed it, right? They probably signed like 1,000 of them, and then the PR department shipped them off. But this was this rattled my world. And so then I wrote, I think Billy White Shoes Johnson for the Atlanta Falcons. I liked the Falcons for a while. I was a bit of a bandwagon jumper until I fell in love with the Niners
like
in the 80s. Yeah. But this was, like, to me, it blew my mind, and how much it meant to me as a little kid when that thing came in the mail and you get an autographed photo from somebody. So great on you, Carlo, and great on it, even though it's taken you a while. Great on
them. 10 years.
I
don't think it's good on Carlo. I don't think he should.
Was it by choice? Dude, I found this in a box of memorabilia from my St. Louis days.
No, but good on you to do it now. Yeah, it's maybe a little late. But I would say, let me ask you this. Like, how do the Austin Matthews, Connor McDavid, Sidney Crosby, whatever, going back, Wayne Gretzky, handle this? Because if you get a fair amount like
question.
That, if MJ's still getting mail, the amount that they must get, and I just don't, obviously they must have a person, right? There's got to be, I'm sure you have a session where you sit down and you sign 1,000 photos, and then there's a person that has to sit and mail those out, because I don't know how you could possibly get to everybody. Maybe they don't. I don't know. Somebody, maybe a listener, have you ever gotten and written Sidney Crosby or Wayne Gretzky and gotten something back?
That's a great question. Because I know guys right now that have developed their own stamps with their autographs.
Oh, really?
So stamps? I know, it sounds stupid.
I would rather not
true.
Get it returned than have a stamp.
Yeah. But these stamps are like real. Like, they look real. Like,
so you wouldn't know the difference?
No, they're not like the, you know, when you get a stamp and you actually see like the space between the color of the writing. Mm-hmm. These are actual like stamps that, you know, thin calligraphy, everything. It's done professionally well. Okay. The other thing guys do too, and I think Upper Deck does it, is they send you sheets of stickers, like clear stickers that you could put on the card that would sort of copy the signature onto the card, and then you pull the sticker off.
It's just not the same, isn't it?
It's not.
You want to feel, though, feel like I would always, if I was a kid today, my wife would argue I am. Like, I would, you know, the photo means much more than an autograph. You get a photo with somebody like Carlo Kolyakovo. That has the moment you were there for. What does an autograph really mean, right? But at least if you knew it was autographed in front of you, you'd know. I guess you'd always be guessing these days if you got something, if whether it was real or not. Because I bet you those stamp things happen a ton. I mean, accountants use them all the time, right, for signatures on documents and everything, so. I have my own one. Yeah, I just sit here and stamp all the millions of autograph requests I get.
I believe it. So
you should stamp all the golf balls you use, James, so that when you lose them, people find it like, oh my God, a James Duffy signed golf ball.
Hey, did I tell you I got my Jack Nicklaus signed golf ball? Did I tell you the story? Do we have time?
No, of course. Let's go. We got all the time in the world for you. Let's
okay, well, one thing, you are not, in this business, you don't ask for autographs. It's a major taboo, and I never have in my career. As a journalist broadcaster, you never do
that.
And like I said, I never cared about autographs anyway. But At the 2005 Open Championship, that was Jack Nicklaus's last major, and I happened to be covering it for TSN. And so I was desperate to get an interview with Nicklaus. So I go into his media availability after, which was in this portable, and when Jack was done, they gave him a standing ovation, and every one of these old, crusty British reporters went up and got him to sign their programs. And I was like, wow, I've never seen this done before. So maybe, you know, there's an exception here. So I waited outside. We kind of staked out a spot, and Jack came out at the end, and I asked if I could do an interview, and he said, if you can walk with me. So we did like a 90-second interview with Jack Nicklaus. And then I remembered I had this golf ball in my pocket that I bought for my newborn son. And I pulled it out and said, Jack, could you sign this ball just as soon as the interview was done? And he said, I don't sign balls, son. And he walked away, and I felt like a moron. But when I interviewed Jack a couple of weeks ago in Ottawa, which I think we talked about, I must have told the story to the organizer, and at the end of the interview, Jack pulled out a signed golf ball for me and made little Jimmy almost cry on stage. What a moment. Aww. What a moment.
Wow.
That's there you amazing. Go. So that's the one autograph thing I have in my possession right now is a Jack Nicklaus.
Where is it in your possession? Where do you have it? Do you have it in your glass case?
It's sitting right now on my desk right next to my hole-in-one ball, which I will sign for you, Carlo. I'll sign copies of my hole-in-one ball and hand them out to you guys if you want.
I'm going to have a little word with Hugo over there and make sure that that's the next thing he grabs.
Here's what idiot friends I had. I did have a Tim Raines was my favorite baseball player. So I was 17, probably the last autograph I had as a youth. I went to the Riedel Center in Ottawa and got Tim Raines to autograph my baseball at the height of Tim Raines' career. And then my buddies came over. We had a little party at my house one night, and everybody was, you know, we were 19 by now, legal age. And my buddies, like 20 guys, all signed the same baseball as Tim Raines. That's what kind of jerk friends I had.
Excuse me?
Nice.
I had a Tim Raines autograph signed baseball on my desk. My friends were having beers, and they all thought it would be funny if they all signed it, too.
That's not funny at all. You have some bad friends, Jake.
That's horrible friends. That's what I grew up with.
Yeah, that's tough.
Did they at least sign it with, like, other famous baseball player names or their own names?
No, I think their own names.
Yeah, their own names, the idiot. Yeah.
If you see Lester McClain, let him know, JD, that
Jimmy and Carlo and Aaron.
Yeah, I've sent Lester a signature for Elton Ron, and I'm hopeful that he returns that.
Elton Ron.
That's Elton a very Ron, inside
hey,
joke.
Never you mind. Very talented. And Elton John's back now, baby.
Yeah. 20 fingers nodding his head in agreement. He's a big fan of Elton Ron and a big fan of the Rubber Boots podcast. Thanks, JD. We appreciate it.
No problem, boys. Thanks for having me.
All right. That is James Duthie from TSN and the Rubber Boots podcast. On the way to Regina, Saskatchewan. You ever been to Regina, Coco?
Never.
Me neither. I don't see. I would be down to go. It's the it's kind of like the chosen land of CFL fans, I think you could say, in Regina. So, yeah, maybe one day we'll make the pilgrimage to Regina. Coming up next, we have our Raptors reporter, Josh Lewenberg, join us. We'll talk about a real Jekyll and Hyde performance from the Raps. Truly horrendous in the first half. Stuck 12 after the first half. Gave up 71 to Memphis. But, man, was it a tale of two halves for your Toronto Raptors. That's
before we go to break, maybe not.